At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
This is the VSiN Daily Baseball Bets. Here is Adam Burke.
Hello once again, everybody, and thank you for joining me on this edition of VSiN Daily Baseball Bets. I'm your host, Adam Burke. Our Monday, April 3rd edition of the podcast here, our first Monday of the Major League Baseball season. All 30 MLB teams in action, so plenty of stuff to talk about. And I did do that over my article over at VSiN.com for you to check out, with a look at most of the games here on today's card. As I've talked about already here in the lead up to the season, this podcast will be every Monday through Friday. Daily article over at VSiN.com Monday through Saturday for you to check out. So no shortage of baseball content over there at the website. Also, Zach Cohen doing daily MLB player props, and he'll be picking up some content on Sundays for us as I guess I'll call it a day of rest, but I'm still following all of the games there on Sunday's card, but just not posting anything official over at the website. So with that, let's go ahead and talk about some macro things across Major League Baseball, and then I'll get into some of the more specific games that I'm looking at here for this April 3rd card. And you know, look, it's important to not overreact to the sample sizes of data that we have so far. We only have 4 days of the Major League Baseball season up to this point. However, there are some interesting things to talk about here. And the first one is that, you know, batting has really stabilized pretty quickly overall. Now, we are still seeing an increase in batted ball or batting average, on balls in play. But overall, teams through the first 4 days of the season, 245 average, 323 on base, 392 slugging percentage. And the batting average on balls in play down to 301. Now, is that still above what we've seen the last few years? Absolutely. But we're not up in the 330 range like we were after opening day. So that has stabilized. Teams, fielders, pitchers, hitters, everyone will adjust to the rule changes and the new environment. And we're already kind of seeing that here with the data that's played out so far. The strikeout percentage has also dropped. It was 26.2% after opening day. That's down to 23.4%. So that has come down as well. Not really a big surprise, especially as you get into the back of the rotation where you have fewer strikeout pitchers to worry about. And that'll be the case for a day like today, case for a day like tomorrow. And then the aces will start making their rounds again here on Tuesday and Wednesday, depending on, you know, how the schedule is shaken out for these teams. A lot of teams, of course, with off days on Friday. So that's a scenario where, you know, maybe you try to get your number one guy an extra day of rest early in the season, or maybe you just go ahead and let them go on regular rest, kind of try to develop a rhythm, you know, for the new regular season. So that's something that's going to be interesting to kind of keep an eye on as we go forward here. But a couple of things that are worth noting that I've seen here so far in the data, we continue to have a lot of stolen bases. Stolen base success rate, 70 for 84 to this point in the season, 83.3%. That is well above where it normally is, in the mid to you know, upper 70s in that range. And that's solely just because pitchers aren't really accustomed to holding runners on that much anymore. Catcher defense has kind of been more about framing and about blocking pitches and less about actually throwing out base runners. But still, you know, we are going to see a lot of stolen bases here because of the disengagements, because of the inability to hold runners close to the bags, and also pitchers getting a little bit panicky sometimes, you know, with those guys on first. So should continue to see that be a thing with the stolen bases. But I think what's more important to me here is looking at the fact that high velocity contact still isn't really being rewarded. When you look at the StatCast era, which dates back to 2015, 2023 has some numbers along the same lines as 2015, which is pretty interesting, especially considering, you know, the shift wasn't really that much of a thing back in 2015. And now, of course, it's been banned. But batting average on high velocity batted balls, and by high velocity, I mean at least 95 mile per hour batted balls, batting average of .487 and a slugging percentage of .934. Now, that's down a point in batting average from last year, 20 points in slugging percentage from last year. And last year was the first time, really in the StatCast era, that we saw batting average on batted balls of 95 plus miles per hour be under 500. So basically, a high velocity batted ball was going to be a hit at least half of the time. That's not quite the case now. And I think it's really interesting to see early in 2023 here that, you know, batting average is down a little bit on that high velocity contact, and also that slugging percentage is down. Now, the weather does have something to do with this, because when you think about a high velocity batted ball, that's going to carry better. Well, right now, where the weather is still pretty chilly, and also we've seen some interesting wind games early on in the season, the ball's just not carrying particularly well. However, there's been a launch angle change in Major League Baseball. So the launch angle is down to 11.3 degrees. That's the second lowest over the last 5 years, and the second lowest average launch angle since, actually, let me check this here. Oh, okay. So I let me correct these notes real quickly here, because I wrote them in the article over at vsin.com and I kind of confused myself a little bit here. So the launch angle of 11.3 degrees is the lowest of any full season in the StatCast era, which dates back to 2015. Now, the 2020 COVID year did have a lower launch angle than any other season, except for 2015, but that was a throwaway year. You know, that was an outlier type of season. So the interesting thing about this is kind of what I talked about leading up into the season. We're getting more singles, we're getting more stolen bases, but as a batter, you don't see three infielders anymore on one side of the infield. So you're less inclined to try and hit the ball over those guys. So we're seeing this launch angle decrease, which means there are fewer fly balls, fewer guys elevating the baseball. That may ultimately lead to a drop in home runs. Now, of course, we'll need some warmer weather data to kind of confirm that. But what it says to me is that guys are going up there and saying, you know what, I'm just going to put the ball in play hard somewhere. I'm going to try and do my job, get my hit, keep it moving on down the line. So we may see a decrease overall in power for this season. So an increase in singles and stolen bases is great, but that doesn't necessarily translate into runs and additional offense. Whereas a home run, well, that's a guaranteed run or two or three or four. But all these singles and these steals don't guarantee runs being scored. So again, part of this may be guys just not trying to elevate the baseball too much because it's early in the season and the ball's not carrying. Some of it may be guys adjusting their philosophy, their mindset, you know, their swing plane because the shift is gone. But that's a really intriguing early data point for me that doesn't allow me to make a definitive statement about power and about launch angle, but it does kind of shed some light on maybe the mentality of a hitter now that you don't have three guys on one side of the infield. So run scoring could, in theory, be down a little bit depending on performance with runners in scoring position. And as a league, that's typically pretty, I don't want to say, you know, fully static, but it's pretty static from year to year, just based on the large sample size. The larger the sample size, the more you kind of get, you know, true stats and true outcomes out of that. Right now, hitting with men in scoring position is about on par with last season, but we're not getting the same level of power, at least not from a launch angle standpoint. We do have one more home run than we had last year over the first 4 days of the season, but keep in mind, last season, nobody was really ready for the year. You had the expedited spring training, the lockout ended. They're like, hey, you guys are going to spring training and figure it out. So, you know, this year is a little bit different, and this is a very frustrating thing about the early part of the season for any baseball year. You don't know how the ball is going to play. There are different rule changes, the lockout last year, the COVID shortened year a couple years ago, where that data is not particularly relevant. So there's a lot to try and dive into early on in the season here. But the two big takeaways for me are that, you know, high velocity contact is not being rewarded, even though I would have expected it to be with the shift gone. And the other is that we've seen this launch angle decrease, where maybe guys are shying away from feeling like they have to hit it over the infield in order to drive in runs. So it was thought that the shift ban would increase offense, but maybe it hasn't as of yet. So I'll be following this data as we go throughout April as things warm up a little bit. I know things are starting to warm up in the Midwest. You know, we obviously got a lot of cold weather out here on the West Coast, and a lot of wind as well. But, you know, these will all be things that I can follow along with as the season goes along here and see if I can pick up on any data, any, you know, telling stats, anything like that. Because, you know, we want to try to beat the market to these things. If all of a sudden I see launch angle going up along with this increase of base runners, because the walk rate is a little bit higher this year, but probably with the pitch count or the pitch clock, excuse me. And we've got more singles and steals. If all of a sudden we add more home runs to the mix, that's really going to drive offense through the roof. So those are some of the things I'm keeping an eye on here as we go throughout the early part of this Major League Baseball season. So let's talk a little bit about this Monday card, kind of, you know, sort of framing it, I guess, a little bit along the lines of, you know, what I just talked about. But again, you know, it takes time to get sample sizes that are relevant. So I'm not saying that I'm grasping at straws by any means. I'm just trying to pick up on some early season trends, because as we start digging into today's card, you know, I think I talked about this a little bit on Friday, but I've certainly been talking about it with my buddies in the business here. This has not been a comfortable start to the season for me. I mean, the picks haven't gone terribly well. They're 2-3, and we're down about 1.2 units. But the bigger thing is I'm overanalyzing every aspect of every game. And for anybody who's a writer out there, I'll kind of draw a parallel with this, because I am a writer, of course, as you know. When the writing process is organic and it's coming easy, you sort of feel it. You know, you feel like you don't have that writer's block. You're not kind of stuck on a thought or stuck on proving a point. Your fingers just glide across the keyboard and it just goes, and it just, you know, spits out whatever you're thinking in pretty good prose, however you want it to come out. And sometimes I feel like that from a handicapping standpoint. You know, I think about the college basketball season here, where games would kind of jump off the page at me, especially if I was running good. You know, I would have these things filed away in the back of my mind about these teams, their characteristics, their stats, their metrics, their traits, their trends, whatever the case may be. Things are kind of jumping out at me. With Major League Baseball, it's largely been the opposite here so far for me, where everything kind of feels like a little bit of a struggle, you know, sort of overthinking these rule changes and the impact that they may have, especially trying to speculate without the power of data, which, as we get more and more games, we'll get more and more data, and I'll start to feel more and more comfortable at that point in time. But it feels like a little bit of a struggle to get into the rhythms of the season here, where it's another year where Major League Baseball has changed quite a bit. So did wind up with three plays today, but, you know, they didn't really jump out at me, jump off the page right away, as they sometimes do. So that'll be something that I'll be following here to see if I can kind of, you know, not only organize my thoughts, but sort of streamline them a little bit better. And of course, too, I mean, early in the season here, you know, the write-ups are very, very long. I'm trying to make sure that I get as much information out there as possible about these starters so we can start developing a profile. Also, selfishly, that's a big part of me organizing my thoughts, being able to share that with you. As we start getting pitchers making their third, fourth starts of the season, stuff like that, you know, we'll at least have some data to go off of. Because the thing about data from last year with the shift You know, if you're a ground ball guy, your numbers from last year really don't mean much of anything to me this year because everything is so different. So we need some of those starts, some of those data points to kind of figure some things out. And I've really been pressing and really been struggling early on in the year to try and, you know, get my thoughts organized and get stuff out there. So forewarning you now, there's a good chance that the early part of the season is a little bit rocky until we get some data and some things that we can really act upon on a day-to-day basis. With that said, I do have three plays for today. I'm going to run through them by rotation number, which is how I write the article over at vsin.com. And the first is the Chicago Cubs. They take on the Cincinnati Reds here down at Great American Ballpark. A 6:40 Eastern time first pitch for this one. It'll be Drew Smyly and Connor Overton in this matchup. Smyly, a guy that the Cubs decided to keep around. Overton, a guy that made the back of a Cincinnati rotation that isn't particularly good from a depth standpoint. Certainly, I've talked about the big three in Hunter Green, Nick Lodolo, and Graham Ashcraft. Overton, to me, isn't really that close to being a major league pitcher. But, you know, for Drew Smyly, last year, the stuff was really good. And one of the reasons why we've seen a line move against Drew Smyly here for this start for the Cubs against the Reds is that last year had a 3.47 ERA with a 4.23 FIP. Now, when you have a lower ERA and a higher FIP, the market expects negative regression out of you. When you have a higher ERA and a lower FIP, the market expects positive regression out of you. So a lot of times, that's one of the big triggers for line movement out there, looking to fade a guy or play on a guy based on ERA and FIP discrepancy. And in this case, it goes back to last season for Drew Smyly. But for Smyly, you know, he had the lowest strikeout rate of his career at 20.4%, but his swinging strike rate was still good, second highest of his career, actually. And he limited hard contact better than he had in any other season outside of 2016. So Smiley's stuff was good. FIP only considers four stats: strikeouts, walks, hit by pitches, and home runs. Smyly gave up a few home runs. The strikeout rate was down a little bit. But overall, the quality of the stuff was really good, which is why he had the 3.47 ERA, also saw a K percentage boost in the second half up to 22.2%. So I like Smyly not only in this start, but also long term here for the Cubs. And Overton is a guy that, you know, as I said, I don't think he's really a major league caliber pitcher. 41.4% hard hit percentage last year, 204 BABIP against, 186 batting average against. Those are not sustainable numbers for a hard hit percentage over 41%. And one of the things I kind of look at, and it's sort of a fairly basic checklist, but do I have the better starter? Do I have the better lineup? Do I have the better bullpen? And if I have those three things, and that favorite is not that big, that'll be a play for me. And the Cubs are a play for me today, minus 120. Better starter, Smyly over Overton. Better lineup, no doubt about that. Better bullpen as well. The Reds bullpen scares the hell out of me, quite frankly. So I took the Cubs here, minus 120 in that one. Didn't have a play on this game, but I want to mention it quickly here. The Braves and the Cardinals game. So the Cardinals, the best offense in baseball right now. They've been double league average with a 202 WRC plus. They scored 22 runs in that series against the Blue Jays, hit 373 as a team. Obviously, it's not going to continue, but this is a very, very good lineup, a very good team, to be sure. But I wanted to talk about Charlie Morton here, because Charlie Morton is a guy I think we need to watch very, very closely as this season goes along. If I had more confidence in Jake Woodford as a starter, I may have been on the Cardinals today. But Charlie Morton last year, highest FIP since his rookie year back in 2008, highest ERA in a full season since 2015. His home run rate jumped to 16.5%, his home run per fly ball rate, highest since 2010. Hard hit percentage, highest in the StatCast era. Still had the swing and miss, but the command was down for Charlie Morton here. The spin rates remain really good. His walk rate was up a little bit. But Charlie Morton is a guy, a lot of arm issues early in his career, a lot of pitches, a lot of innings on that arm. As guys get older, the command is usually what goes. So I'm going to be watching Charlie Morton really, really closely here. I don't love that Jake Woodford is a fastball-heavy guy against a Braves lineup where you can get swing and miss if you don't throw a lot of fastballs. So like I said, I got close to betting the Cardinals here today as kind of a fade of Charlie Morton. but I don't know what I'm going to get out of Jake Woodford. But Morton is a guy that I think I will try to look to go against, particularly if we see a little bit of a home run increase league-wide once we get to the warmer summer months. Another game I wanted to mention here really quick, the Blue Jays and the Royals. Don't have a play on this one either, but Brady Singer was really, really good last year. 3.23 ERA, 3.58 FIP. Jose Berrios was not. 5.23 ERA, 4.55 FIP. Strikeout rate under 20% for the first time since 2016. Gave up a bunch of home runs. Gave up a lot of hard hit contact. Pitched awful on the road. Berrios is a guy that I'm probably going to look to go against here, at least in terms of guys that are on a good team, because you want to look for starting pitchers on good teams you can go against and try to scoop some underdog prices. Morton's a guy for the Braves. I think Berrios is a guy for the Blue Jays, as well. Of course, he started with the Twins. But he's a guy who was really, really bad against lefties last year. If that's the case again, and we get some left-handed lineups against him, particularly at Rogers Center, now that they moved the fences in right center field, I will be looking to go against him in a lot of his home starts if I can, if we get some left-handed heavy lineups. Finish this up with a couple of the plays I am looking at, a couple of the other plays, I should say, I am looking at here for today. Look at the first five over four in the game between the Guardians and the Athletics. Now, betting on Oakland's offense is not something that's probably going to get you to the window all that often this season, but I do not like Zach Plesac. Zach Plesac, 4.31 ERA, 4.45 FIP last year for Cleveland in 131 and two-thirds innings. Just pitches to a lot of contact. And in non-COVID years, his FIPs have been 494, 473, 445. Hard hit percentage on the wrong side of 40% each of the last 2 years. I'll take my chances with that. And with the Oakland lineup here today, Cleveland is an elite defensive team. Absolutely. And that has helped Plesac from being worse than his numbers actually are. But I think Oakland can put some balls in play here in this game. And obviously Cleveland will as well. I mean, that's just what they do. They get James Kaprielian today. Kaprielian, really good second half last year. He had three awful months and three good months last season. So hopefully this will be one of the awful months for him, or at least one of his awful starts. But, you know, the wind will be blowing out to right field here, about 20-mile-per-hour clip. Guardians should have six left-handed bats in the lineup. So, look, shop around for the best prices, because you can find over four minus 110 out there, pretty much standard. As I've mentioned before, the article is DraftKings lines and grading against DraftKings numbers. Kind of is what it is, but they have, you know, minus 115 as their standard VIG on first five totals. Fortunately, you can shop around. I have to take whatever DraftKings is offering at the time that I post. But the over first five in the Guardians and A's, a play for me today here as well. One other game that made the cut for me is the Minnesota Twins laying minus 125 against the Miami Marlins. The Twins sending Tyler Mahle to the mound, Miami sending Johnny Cueto. This is a pretty simple handicap for me. When you look at Tyler Mahle outside of Great American Ballpark in Cincinnati, he's been quite good throughout the course of his career. Marlins Park is a great pitcher's park. Should be a really, really good fit for him. Shouldn't be a bad fit for Johnny Cueto. But between these two guys, I think Cueto is going to allow a lot more contact. The strikeout rate dropped pretty significantly last season. The Twins saw him four times. I don't know how much that necessarily matters, but it should mean they probably don't swing and miss a whole lot against him in this start, whereas the Marlins will swing and miss a lot throughout the course of this season. Their strikeout rate early in the year, over 29%. So I think for Tyler Mahle, that's something that should help him out in this outing for sure. And the Twins, same thing as the Cubs here. Getting the better starter, I'm getting the better bullpen, and I'm getting the better lineup, and I'm doing so at a short price. So Twins minus 125, the other play for me here, although you can find minus 120 out there if you shop around. So the three plays for today, Cubs minus 120, Guardians and A's first five over four, Twins minus 125. And again, shop around for the best prices. Don't take minus 120 if minus 115 is there. Don't take minus 125 if minus 120 is there. Comes with the territory here in this business. But make sure you're shopping around for the best prices, because that absolutely will help your bottom line as we go throughout the season here. So worked in a little bit of stuff about what we've seen over the first 4 days of the season. Look, it's been interesting so far, especially in terms of the stolen bases and the increase in singles and the decrease, actually, in trying to hit the ball in the air. And then, of course, you know, just looking at a few plays here for this Monday card. Again, VSiN Daily Baseball Bets, Monday through Friday. Rate, review, subscribe. Wherever you get your podcast content, five-star reviews, very much appreciated. And, you know, look, that daily article Monday through Saturday over there at the website as well. So thanks for listening, everybody. If you missed any of the preview shows here of VSiN Daily Baseball Bets, still some life on those. You know, we're only 5 days into the season here. Did an AL preview, an NL preview, some thoughts on the rule changes, some general baseball betting tips. Go back and check those out as time permits. But, of course, you know, we'll have daily stuff here in the feed Monday through Friday. So thank you so much, everybody, for listening to this Monday edition of VSiN Daily Baseball Bets. I'm your host, Adam Burke.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today?
I gotta change the oil in my car.
Right now, get 5 quarts of Pennzoil Platinum Full Synthetic with an STP Extended Life Oil Filter for only $36.99.
Get in zone.
What do I do with my old oil?
We can recycle your used oil for free.
Get in zone.
And do you have oil for my old work truck?
You can find the right high mileage oil to help it go farther right here at AutoZone.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.